Welcome to the Church in the Peak podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information, visit churchinthepeak.org or come join us at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday.
Good morning, everybody. Hold on. Am I on? Can you all hear me? Great. Good morning. Neil, are you going to pray for me? Come on. Why not?
I have to do a socially distanced prayer. Thank you, Lord, for Dave. Lord, we pray that you would just anoint him by the power of your Holy Spirit this morning, that he would just speak your word to us this morning, Lord Jesus. Just come. And may we hear from you this morning. Hear your heart for us. Hear what you want to say to us in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Neil. Sorry. Sometimes I realize quite how dull I am in working things out. In preparing this, as you probably remember the last couple of times I've spoken from the book of Isaiah. And I was looking to do something different, but I felt to come back to Isaiah and back to one of my favorite scriptures, which is Isaiah 61. And then I realized that God was actually using what I was saying as a kind of Bible study of the Trinity. I spoke about 5 weeks ago, about Isaiah 58, the heart of God for the poor, the heart of God for those who are burdened, the heart of God that we would not just work in some sort of sense of self-righteousness, but actually look to him, to glorify him in the things that we do. And then, of course, about 2 weeks ago, I spoke about Isaiah 53, the crucifixion of Christ, the cross of Christ, and how that sets us all free to be who we were designed to be. And so we've had the Father's heart, the Son's sacrifice, and today I'm going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit coming upon us, and how He can move on us. And I'm not going to speak for very long because I want to see the Spirit of God meet you in your rooms, where you are, whether you're like John Batsford and Susie, who are sitting there in bed, having their cup of coffee in bed with a croissant, which seems to be the new normal for people, and I'm very jealous. Or you are sitting there in front of your TV. I don't care. God is going to come into your room and he is going to meet with you. And we are going to do, as Phil brought that word this morning, we are going to shout to the Lord because we are going to see things broken and we're going to see that we are filled with the Spirit. Just to let you know, we've been doing the Alpha online for the last 6 or 7 weeks. And although for me it was rather odd, we've really got into it. The people on our Alpha are really enjoying it. And you know what? They are meeting with God and they've never met us. They are feeling the presence of God tingling on their hands, on their head. They are meeting with God sovereignly in their houses without anybody else there. So if you are born again and you're missing that presence of God, you can meet with the living God again this morning and see that anointing come on you. So I'm going to, rather than go to Isaiah 61 in the Old Testament, I'm going to read the part that we have where Jesus uses it in Luke. Just to give you a context of what has happened. As I always try to do. So obviously Jesus he has been baptized. And again, we see the passage in Isaiah where he talks about John the Baptist. And John says, you know, I am the one who is to make the straight paths for the coming of the anointed one, the Messiah. And then we see Jesus come and he is baptized. And this Holy Spirit comes down on him in bodily form. They could actually see something that was different. It says like a dove. I'm not quite sure what that means, whether that is just a tried to describe the way the Holy Spirit came on Christ. But it's a wonderful thing anyway. But we see the Spirit come down on Jesus. And then he goes into the wilderness and Satan tries to tempt him. But Jesus, filled with the Spirit, overcomes those temptations of Satan. And he breaks that power. We see later on that he breaks the power for us of sin and death on the cross. But at this point, he breaks the temptation that Satan can put on Christ. And that is also for us. And then he starts his ministry. And we read in the passage that he starts to minister to people and teach them. And they're amazed at what he does. So let's just read from Luke chapter 4, verse 14. So this is after he'd been in the wilderness. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region, and he taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. And when he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him, and he unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." Now, if you look in your Bible, you will see that Jesus actually stops in the middle of verse 3. But, of course, the chapters and verses were put there in the 16th century or so. Jesus was actually stopped at that point deliberately because he was saying, today, these scriptures are fulfilled. Let's read that last section. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes of the synagogue looked at him intently, and then he began to speak to them. He said, "The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. That he was anointed to preach good news." Now, I've often thought of this as a sort of the evangelist charter. But it isn't. I'm wrong about that. It's the charter for all of us who are born again. We are all to be filled with the Spirit. We are all to be walking with the anointing of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he wants to use us to see the captive set free, to help feed the poor, to set people free from fear, but to preach the good news that Jesus has died and risen again, and that we need not have any fear of death any longer. One of the things I felt very strongly in preparing for this morning is that the people around us are in such fear. Maybe you too are in such fear. What is the fear? I'm not talking about being kind of blasé about what is going on with the pandemic, but what I'm talking about is, do you fear death? Jesus has conquered that fear of death. Because our theology is that we cannot lose our salvation. What father that loves a child would ever find a way to stop loving that child. It says in Romans, doesn't it? Neither death nor life, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Satan cannot separate you from the love of God. You cannot do it yourself. You cannot separate yourself from the love of God once you are born again. And that is why you have no need to fear death, because judgment does not come on you. That's why Jesus finished at this point. He finished at the point that said, this is the day of favor. He then goes on to talk about destroying enemies. That will come when Jesus comes again. That's why Jesus stopped at that point. Because the favor of God, this is a time that we are living in where the favor of God is on us. It's been with us for 2,000 years and will stay with us until he comes again. Hallelujah. So that is where we are now. It doesn't mean that we will not. There are also, that next passage also talks about being set free from the ashes of mourning and bringing that into joy. That was one of the passages that spoke to me when I first became a Christian. The loss of my mother, the hurt of unemployment at times, broken relationships. God said to me, I have taken away those ashes and I have given you a spirit of joy. And he spoke to me specifically from that text. But we are living in a time where God's favor is upon us and we are to enjoy that favor. So, I want to also just encourage you. When we did the Holy Spirit time in the Alpha online this week, and there's a Nikki Gumbel just encourages people to receive the Holy Spirit, and there are three things that can hinder us from receiving the Spirit. And it's explained in Luke 11, I think it is. One is doubt. Do you think God will not come to you? But he says, knock and the door will be opened. Seek and you will find. That's what God's asking you to do. Seek him with all of your heart. Seek him. The other is that you might feel an inadequacy. Well, I'm just not good enough. God will not come to me because I'm this, that, or the other. That's rubbish. He sent Jesus to deal with all of that once and for all. It's dealt with once and for all. He said it on the cross, didn't he? It is finished. There is no need to worry about whether you are adequate or not. We never, ever were. But because of Christ, we are now. We are in Christ and we can be filled with his Spirit. And the final thing is fear. If you are afraid of what the Spirit will do, he is a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, the great comforter. He will come and he will break all that fear. And there's that scripture that says, and it is talking about the Spirit. You fathers, though you are evil, would you give your son a snake if he asks you for bread? And things like that. When you ask for the Spirit, he's not going to give you something horrible. He's not going to give you something terrible. It's not going to blow up in your face. It's not going to be some kind of sick prank. No, the Spirit of God is wonderful. He will come and anoint you, and he will fill you with his love. And you will see that change in your life. Again, we were talking on the Alpha this week, and we were just saying, somebody was saying, I think Helen was saying, how she dealt with the things of the past for the first few months, maybe a year. And now she knows the love of God, and she wants to give that back to people. That is the classic thing that we seek. That same, I could say the same thing. I hope you are feeling the same thing. that God has cleaned up your life, ready for you to bless other people with the love of God, bringing the good news to other people and declaring God's favor can be on those people now. So, Steve and the band, do you want to just come back? Steve, could we do that first song that we did? Because I think that ties in really well with Phil's word about shouting to the Lord. Because I want us all to engage with God. We can, I'm sure. It's so difficult to engage when you're looking at a screen. I fully understand that. But, you know, do something different now, whether that is put your hands out to him, whether that is to stand up or to expect God to move on you. So let's just, if you want to just, if you're sitting in your living room and you're not doing anything, I'm going to encourage you. You know, I'm always kind of come and bully you to do something by standing up. So let us stand up. Let us just say, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Lord. Come by your Spirit. We are not inadequate. We know you will come and you will fill us. We do not fear the Spirit of God because we know he is a good God. So, Lord, we just pray, come. Come, Lord. And when we do this next worship song, I want you to shout, to see those burdens come off. Let me just look at my notes. I want you to make sure, if you don't know that your salvation is assured, but you know that you are born again, just come back to that point and say, Holy Spirit, come and reassure me of my salvation. Do not fear death if you are born again, because he will take you to heaven, not because of what you've done, not because of the self-righteousness that you may have or the self-righteousness that is around, but because of the righteousness of Christ. That is all that is needed. Let's have an encounter with God right now. Encounter him now. So Lord, break that heavy yoke. Break that yoke that is burdening us, whether that is difficulty with aging parents, whether that is fear over going back to work, fear of going back to school, fear of being anywhere with where people are. May the Spirit of God come and bring that reassurance, bring that peace upon you to break the anxiety. He is a good God. He is a good God. So shout to God to break that. Do it. It might start off as a whisper, but really build it up. God wants to break these things, and he wants to encounter you today and for you to encounter him.